Good afternoon. You are tuned to a Juno Afternoon here on Wednesday, the 30th of September in the year 2015. Jeff Barron here for today. We'll talk with Leslie Wood about traumatic brain injury support group meetings. We'll talk to Lucy Robinson about Wrangell, Alaska Day Fun Run. We'll learn about Thursday's PSP presentation with guest Elizabeth Tobin. We'll get an update on Eagle Crest. And Chef Stefan Franz will be here to talk about Juno Appreciation Days at the Juno Artist Gallery. That Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, Music and More today on a Juno Afternoon. Weather forecast for tonight, rain showers with low temperatures around 41 degrees. Forecast for Thursday, rain showers in the morning and scattered rain showers in the afternoon with high temperatures around 52 degrees.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. People across Canada are showing their support for survivors of Indian residential schools by wearing orange shirts. Today marks the annual Orange Shirt Day in recognition of the harm caused by the schools. First Nations leaders say it sends the message that First Nations children matter and that reconciliation must include a commitment to First Nations children. On the last Orange Shirt Day, First Nation leader Ghislaine Picard talked about the significance of the orange shirt.
Orange Shirt Day began when former residential school student Phyllis Webstad told the story of her first day at residential school when she was just 6 years old and her shiny new orange shirt bought for her by her grandmother was taken from her and no one seemed to care. It is just one story of many that are told by residential school survivors of the pain and harm they experienced in the schools.
First Nations leaders say people can learn from such stories and work toward reconciliation between First Nations and Canada. The schools were funded by the government and run by churches. Former students say they were physically, sexually, and mentally abused. September 30th is significant because it's the time of year when many children were taken from their homes and forced to go to residential school. Today, the U.S. Senate voted in favor of a bill to fund the government and avoid a government shutdown. The bill would fund the government through December 11th. 2 years ago, the federal government shut down, which lasted a little more than 2 weeks and impacted tribes. Many tribal programs and services were hit, including education and health care. Limited services were provided by the Interior Department to protect life and property, such as law enforcement and emergency response. Tribes hunkered down, and many tribal leaders expressed frustration, saying they were already accustomed to federal shortages and delays, and pointed to the shutdown as another financial hardship. The federal government has a trust responsibility to tribes. U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack was on the Pine Ridge Reservation Tuesday. He came to announce a large grant for economic development opportunities for the Oglala Sioux Tribe. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbolt reports.
Secretary Vilsack says President Barack Obama is touched by the potential of the people on Pine Ridge. But Vilsack says the president is aware of the challenges brought on by poverty. Vilsack was in the small Pine Ridge Reservation town of Porcupine Tuesday. He announced the creation of a $2.6 million grant package to enhance economic activities. Nearly $2 million will go to Oglala Lakota College, a tribal school located in Kyle, South Dakota. Officials will upgrade the college's water and waste disposal facility. The Thunder Valley Community Development Corporation will receive funding as well to put toward a demonstration farm and education center in the interest of developing food sovereignty in the area. That grant comes from the USDA's National Institute of Food and Agriculture. Remaining money is distributed by USDA Rural Development. Thunder Valley officials are managing the Promise Zone designation of Pine Ridge from the Obama administration. Promise zones are located in high poverty areas where the federal government joins with local organizations to improve conditions. For National Native News, I'm Gary Ellenbold.
A cash reward is being offered for information leading to find those responsible for killing Native American advocate Jess Sixkiller. The 78-year-old was killed in his Phoenix, Arizona home last week. Police are asking for the public's help. Sixkiller was a lifelong advocate for Native rights and a former Chicago police officer. Family members are finalizing funeral plans and have set up an online memorial fundraiser. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation. with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Supported by the National Indian Education Association, an inclusive Native organization representing Native students, educators, families, communities, and tribes. Membership registration available at niea.org.
Darlin Gold, Jimaho Kulugut, Bijaya Gat, Guskok Fin, Guik Beam to a Wat Digni, Jalang Nako Rakata Kainakun.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
It's 6 minutes past the hour, and you are tuned to Juno Afternoon. Jeff Brown is your host today. In the studio with me now is Leslie Wood, who's talking about traumatic brain injury support group meetings. Leslie, thank you for coming down to the station today.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
So what in particular is a traumatic brain injury, and what can cause them?
Well, in particular, any blow to the head can cause a traumatic brain injury, a concussion, falling on the ice, getting in a car wreck. Even falling with a helmet can cause a head injury. Any blow to the head, there's such soft material in there that it can get shaken up, torn apart, banged up, bruised. And what can happen is small tears or large, bruises, basically, that can damage the brain tissue and cause symptoms such as, losing your sense of smell or losing your ability to speak. The symptoms or the effects of having a brain injury are vary depending on the person.
Can someone have a brain injury and not realize that they've had one?
Yes, I think so. I think the awareness is being raised about brain injuries, but a lot of times people, have taken falls or they don't think it's serious and they just move on with their life and they don't realize that each time they get a blow to the head or a concussion, it's cumulative. And when people are having difficulties in their life, maybe remembering things or organizing or having, sensitivity issues, when you say, well, have you had a brain injury or were you ever, have you ever fallen on the ice or had concussion, it kind of helps people realize that maybe it's a brain injury rather than something else that they don't know what's happening. And so knowing it's happened or knowing about it can be really helpful.
It's in the news these days with concussions in football.
Yes.
Is there a cure?
Well, I think, I don't know. I think the brain is always healing. We have bodies have a tendency to heal, and so it just takes a long time sometimes for the brain to heal, and symptoms can vary over the course of years. If your injury is only 6 months ago, you could be having virtually no symptoms, but then sometimes symptoms show up later, and they don't know that it was related to an injury, I don't know if it can ever be changed, but once you have it, you can learn how to manage with it or learn how to support your body in healing, which I think number one is rest, a lot of rest. Try to limit the overstimulation. Just take what you can take for the day and then take a rest,
You're here to talk about support group meetings.
Yes. So at SAIL, we've been holding traumatic brain injury support groups every first Tuesday of the month, and our next one is next Tuesday, October 6th, and it's from noon until 1 at the SAIL office conference room. And what it gives people is a chance to come together and talk to each other, other people who've had brain injuries, and just hear their story and share your story. I'm going to prepare some handouts for people to take home and maybe learn a little bit, but really the group is there to support each other, and I'm just there to facilitate. And so the group can make it whatever they want to. If they want special We're inviting people to come and share what they want out of the group, and I can arrange for special presenters or, you know, some kind of topic, but mostly it's for the people to network with each other and feel support.
About how many people show up at an average meeting?
Well, I've taken on this as a new project, and last month there were three people there, and I'm up here on the radio, and I'm letting people know that it is open to whoever wants to come. If you're somebody who has had a brain injury, or maybe somebody who's taking care of somebody who has a brain injury, or a family member, it might be a good way to learn about it and hear what other people have gone through. So,
when are the meetings again?
The first Tuesday of the month. So our next one is October 6th. It's from noon to 1 at the SAIL office conference room.
All right, Leslie, anything you'd like to add? I might have forgotten to ask.
Well, I just hope people get the word out that SAIL is doing this support group. There's been different variations of the support group in town over the years, but this one, I hope to breathe some new life into it and get it going again, and that's why I'm on the radio telling you about it. So hopefully people who are listening can remember and come to the program.
Is there a website or a phone number people can call to sign up or to ask questions?
Sure. You don't have to sign up. Just show up. But the number is 586-4920. That's the SAIL office. And I can answer any questions that you may have, or if you want to be put on the email list, I can put someone on the list so they can get a reminder about the meetings.
Leslie Wood, thanks for coming today.
Thanks, Jeff.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 30th of September, 2015. It was on this day in 1847, a U.S. Senator from Vermont, George Perkins Marsh, delivered an address to the Agricultural Society of Rutland County and became, it is believed, the first person to publicly raise the issue of man-made climate change. In his speech, Senator Marsh said, "It is certain that climate itself has in many instances been gradually changed and ameliorated or deteriorated by human action, the draining of swamps, the clearing of forests, perceptibly affect the evaporation from the earth." He went on to write a book about it, in which he said, "Man is everywhere a disturbing agent. Wherever he plants his foot, the harmonies of nature are turned to discord." It's the birthday of Truman Capote, born New Orleans, 1924, who, when he was just 24, came out with his first novel, Other Voices, Other Rooms. Truman Capote, who said, "Writing has laws of perspective, of light and shade, just as painting does. If you're born knowing them, fine. If not, learn them, then rearrange the rules to suit yourself." It's the birthday of the poet W.S. Merwin, born New York City, 1927, went off to Princeton, went off to travel in Europe. He met Robert Graves, the poet, and T.S. Eliot. He translated the poems of Pablo Neruda, and eventually moved to Hawaii and set about restoring a former pineapple plantation on Maui to its original rainforest state, planting palm trees. W.S. Merwin, who said, "I think there's a kind of desperate hope built into poetry now that one really wants hopelessly to save the world. One is trying to say everything that can be said for the things that one loves while there's still time." Merwin said, "I found that the best thing for me is to insist that some part of the day, and for me it's the morning until about 2 p.m, be dedicated to writing. You have to make exceptions, of course, but you just stick to it, and then it becomes a habit, and I think it's a valuable one. If you're waiting for lightning to strike a stump, you're going to sit there for the rest of your life." Here's a poem for today by Philip Booth, a poem entitled "Talk About Walking." "Where am I going? I'm going out for a walk. I don't know where, except outside. Outside argument out beyond wallpapered walls, outside wherever it is, where nobody ever imagines, beyond where computers circumvent emotion, where somebody shorted specs for rivets for airframes on today's flights. I'm taking off on my own 2 feet. I'm going to clear my head to watch mare's tails instead of TV, to listen to trees and silence, to see if I can still breathe. I'm going to be alone with myself, to feel how it feels to embrace what my feet tell my head, what wind says in my good ear. I mean to let myself be embraced, to let go feeling so centripetally old. Do I know where I'm going? I don't. How long or far? I have no idea. No map. I said I was going to take a walk. When I'll be back, I'm not going to say. Talk About Walking by Philip Booth from Lifeline, Selected Poems, published by Viking, used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, you can subscribe to the Poetry Magazine podcast and the Poetry Off the Shelf podcast in the iTunes Store or listen at poetryfoundation.org. And by Staples, with technology products, copy and print, shipping and other solutions for businesses of any size. Learn more at Staples and Staples.com. Staples make more happen. Engineered by Noah Smith, produced by Joe Biles. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Seventeen minutes past the hour, and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau and KRNN FM in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. I'm Jeff Brown, your host for today. In the studio with phone with me now is Lucy Robinson from Wrangell, here to talk about the Alaska Day Fun Run they have coming up. Lucy, thank you for being on the air with me today.
Hey, thanks so much for letting me be on the air, Jeff.
So you're a beast?
I'm a beast, Southeast Beast to be exact, a local running group I started here in Wrangell.
And you have a fun run coming up for Alaska Day, which is the 18th of the month.
It is. We actually are doing it on the weekend of the 18th. The run is officially on the 17th. We thought it would be more convenient for folks to run on a Saturday.
How long is the run?
The run, you have two options. There's a half marathon, which is 13.1 miles, and there's a 5K fun run, so 3.1 miles.
Are there prizes and T-shirts?
There are prizes. There are T-shirts. And all of that was sponsored by Frank Warfel Jr., who runs the Pacific Sea Seining Boat here in Wrangell. So he donated a pretty large chunk of money, and we purchased most of the prizes, door prizes locally, as well as the T-shirts. We went through Angerman's Inc. here in town. So it's very Alaska-specific and definitely hometown proud.
Given that you're in Wrangell and we're on the air here in Juneau, how do you keep visitors from getting lost?
Visitors, it's just so darn small that it's pretty impossible to get lost. But I'm sure it does happen. I think that most visitors feel pretty welcome and that they can stop and talk to locals who are, walking down the street. But we do have maps of surrounding areas and trails and so on and so forth, both pumped out by the local chamber office and the Forest Service.
How do people register?
So far, we've got over 60 registered. And last year we had a total of 78 participants. And that was local participants. Our push this year is to try and get folks from, surrounding Southeast communities to join forces.
Where do they stay in Wrangell? Andrew, you have a lot of hotels.
I'm sorry, what was that?
You have a lot of hotels in Wrangell?
We do. I mean, we have a fair amount. There's not too much going on in the fall and winter season, so the hotels that we do have typically are not booked. So we do have a lot of lodging. We have some B&Bs. And the event on our Facebook page actually has a little bit of information about lodging, one of which is at the Sakine Inn here, local restaurant and lodging, or inn, hotel rather, and they are giving an activities rate for those folks who are coming over specifically for the Alaska Day Run.
And how do people sign up?
How do people find out?
How do people sign up?
How do people sign up? They can go to our Facebook page, Southeast Beast. So it's just facebook.com/Southeast Beast. They can also register on Race Roster. Just look for upcoming runs in Wrangell, Alaska, you can register there pretty easily.
All right, Lucy Robinson, thank you so much. Is there anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
No, just love Alaska, and we love the people helping people concept.
All right, thanks for coming down by phone.
Thank you so much, and have a good day.
Nothing ever bad ever happens to me. Coming out on top comes naturally. I ain't never had no troubles, never ran into the law. I got a charming face, the cutest one you ever saw. I'm the luckiest man here on earth, and I was born with it all at my birth. And though I may go any day, I'm a free man living my way. Now everybody likes me, especially the girls. They like to go out dancing, and I love to see them twirl. And so I'm never lonely, and I ain't got no regrets. I'm hanging on my porch, smoking funny cigarettes. I'm the luckiest man here on earth, and I was born with it all in my brain. And though I may go any day, I'm a free man living my way.
Todd Grevy and Cold Country, they're going to be playing this weekend as part of the Folktoberfest.
The Alaska Folk Festival and KRNN proudly presents Folktoberfest, October 2nd and 3rd at the Rockwell Ballroom. 6 bands and 2 nights of music, dancing, food, and good cheer. Featuring the Anna Lynch Band, Todd Grevy and Cold Country, the Great Alaska Bluegrass Band, and other local favorites. Enjoy 3 bands each night at this all-ages event. All proceeds benefit the Folk Festival and KRNN. Tickets available at the Jack, Hearthside, and at akfolkfest.org.
It's 24 minutes past the hour, and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau and KRNN FM in Juneau. You're on a Juneau afternoon. Our next guest is Elizabeth Tobin. She's here to talk about sustainable shellfish harvest in Southeast Alaska. It's a presentation going on Thursday night at 6:30 in Centennial Hall. Elizabeth is a biological oceanographer. Thank you for coming on the station today.
Yes, thank you for having me, John.
So for people who don't know, what is PSP?
PSP stands for paralytic shellfish poisoning, and it's an illness that is caused from eating contaminated shellfish that have toxins in them.
The causes are pretty obvious. What are its symptoms?
The symptoms can be quite varied, actually. Everything from gastrointestinal, nausea, vomiting, all the way to neurological, that could be fatal.
And just from clams or from a variety of shellfish?
A variety of bivalve species. Shellfish.
Okay. Is it safe to harvest shellfish in Southeast Alaska? Or is it not a good idea just in general?
I would say there's an inherent risk. to harvesting shellfish in Alaska. But there are ways for people who are actively harvesting shellfish to better protect themselves. And that's a little bit what I'm going to be talking about tomorrow at my presentation.
Tell me more about the symptoms.
More about the symptoms of PSP.
Yes.
Well, in terms of the neurological impacts, PSP is a neurotoxin, the paralytic shellfish toxin is a neurotoxin. And this toxin actually disrupts the sodium channels in your nerves, meaning that a signal can't propagate across the nerve. So your brain is no longer able to communicate with other parts of your body. And this can cause really severe symptoms like paralysis and respiratory failure.
What can be done about it?
If you have a really high dose of the toxin, about the best way to deal with it is to get quick medical attention.
How often is it fatal?
You know, I don't know the exact statistics of that. It can be highly varied. It all depends on the concentration of the toxin within the shellfish that you consume.
How can someone protect themselves from getting PSP?
A lot of it's knowing the facts. What causes PSP, why PSP, the toxins can be so variable among different beaches in Southeast Alaska and within a beach in Southeast Alaska. And that's a lot of the information that I'll be providing tomorrow in my presentation is a whole list of ways that, of information that you can use to reduce your risk of contacting or becoming in contact with illness.
About how many cases are there each year?
Each year, well, it's variable by year. I will say this. Since 1973, there has been over 200 documented cases of PSP in Alaska alone, but that's just been what's been reported to the Department of Health, and they suspect that's actually a very small amount of the total cases.
I've heard the lips go kind of numb.
Yep, that's usually one of the very first signs of paralytic shellfish poisoning is that you'll get this tingling in your lips or a numbness in your lips.
And what makes it fatal and what makes just a tingling in the lips?
It all depends on the dose, the concentration of the toxin that you consume. You can start with just having tingling at the lips and the symptoms can then become severely worse, or you can just have the tingling of the lips and you had a lower dose and it goes away. Your body literally just metabolizes the toxin.
I'm guessing I know what you're going to say, but is there a way you can just try one and then if you don't get tingly lips, it's okay to eat more?
That's not a very safe approach, I would say. Because there can be such variability among the different species of shellfish, I would say that if you tried one and you didn't get tingling of the lips, there's still a possibility that another shellfish in your batch could be contaminated.
What about the shellfish you buy in the store?
Oh, it's completely safe.
How do they test it?
So all commercially harvested shellfish is tested year-round by the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation. And they've all the shellfish that's been tested has been shown to have levels of toxin that are below the regulatory limit. So they can have a very, very small amount of the toxin in it that's not going to be hazardous to human health. So all the shellfish that's in restaurants through reputable retail markets, they're going to be safe.
Elizabeth Tobin, you're talking tomorrow night at 6:30 till 7:30 p.m. in Juneau Centennial Hall in the Hickel Room. Anything else you get to talk about that you want people to know about tonight?
I just want to let them know that the presentation tomorrow is free to the public. There'll be some refreshments that are provided. The presentation will be followed by an open format question and answer session, and there'll be plenty of resources to take home with you.
Are you serving clam chowder?
No.
Well,
so I wish.
Thanks for coming by. Is there anything you'd like to add?
Nope, that's it. Thank you for having me.
This is Bird Note. The finches of the Galapagos Islands are famous in the history of evolutionary theory. But Charles Darwin spent 4 years studying other birds as well as his ship, the Beagle, circumnavigated southern South America before reaching the Galapagos in 1835. It was during these many months that ornithology became a gratifying pursuit for him, and he kept a diary of his findings. In southern Uruguay, he experienced the beauty and variety of tropical songbirds and noticed how keenly they differed from the birds of England. in Patagonia, observing Andean condors pulled him out of a depression brought on by symptoms of typhoid. Darwin was convinced, scientist though he was, that they often flew for pure joy. It was not just the Galapagos finches, but a lifetime of attending to all the birds and wild things in his path that brought Darwin to his great idea. In Darwin's bird diaries, his most important lesson appears again and again. We become lively and intelligent in our careful observation of life's details. Everything in the natural world is worthy of our attention. To learn more about the world of birds and nature, visit our website, birdnote.org. I'm Mary McCann.
Juno.
Ketchikan. We come from different places.
Sitka.
Haines. We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But when we live united, we can make a real difference in the building blocks of life.
Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly, so do our communities.
Real change won't happen without you.
Help make a difference in your community by supporting United Way of Southeast Alaska. Learn more at UnitedWaySeak.org.
31 minutes past the hour, and you are tuned to a Juno Afternoon. Next guests in the studio are Charlie Harrington and Matt Lillard here from Eagle Crest. Thank you for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, good to be here.
So, you must be excited about the snow in Fairbanks. And Charlie, you said it was in Homer today, too?
Yeah, that's what I saw online. Yeah, some snow at like 800 feet above sea level in Homer.
Just in a few short days or weeks before it comes to Juno.
That's right. Winter's coming, and we're going to start celebrating every Wednesday for Ski Film Bar Night.
Do you want to talk about it today?
Yeah, certainly. Charlie's got all the details, but it all kicks off tonight, and it's going to be at Louie's every Wednesday night from 7:30 on, and it's got some ski films and some other great giveaways, so I'll let Charlie expand upon it.
Yeah, so first week is tonight at Louie's. Come early. We're going to push play on the film around 7:30. It's going to be Teton Gravity Research's 1998 film, Uprising. It's a classic. And if you want to come early, every time you get a drink or buy some food, you'll get a ticket. And we've got tons of great giveaways from Eagle Crest and our partners with Sequence Board Shop, Borderline Legacy, The Aurora Project, Adventure Flow, which is actually giving away the highlight of the night. They're giving away a ride on their party bus. They usually cater towards for tourists. So that should be pretty fun. And then, what else? Yeah, Louis is also and Alaska Powder Descents.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. It's a good way to get excited for winter. And as we all know, the snow's coming is up north, and it's going to start heading our way. So that, and we also got our PFD pass sale. The best prices of the season are right now. So as our PFDs start hitting our accounts, get out there, get your pass for the winter, and let's get ready to ski and ride.
And a ski swap is coming up in the future.
Yeah, the ski swap is coming up in the beginning of November. I believe it's November 7th this year, but definitely check out skijuno.com for more details on that and all of our other events as well.
A lot of stuff going on in Eagle Crest. When did the lessons start, the first time the snow is there?
Yeah, opening day is Saturday, December 5th, and we're going to be ready and willing to welcome that snow and get skiing and riding as soon as we can. So programs will start up soon thereafter, and we're just really looking forward to a great winter at Eagle Crest, and it all kicks off with the Ski Film Bar Night tonight at Louie's at 7:30.
What film is it?
It's Teton Gravity Research's Uprising, which is from 1998. So the whole premise upon these Ski Film Bar Nights is to play some old classics, and Teton Gravity Research has got a great one for tonight, and it's got great music and some great footage of Alaskan descents and places around the world. So come on out and celebrate with us.
What time does it all start?
7:30.
All right. Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
I think you got it all. Yeah, 8 weeks this Ski Film Bar Night's going on, so up until November 18th.
All right, thanks for coming by.
My red get in. I was angry. both day and night.
Martha Redbone, she's appearing tonight at the Juno Arts and Culture Center, 7:30. Tickets available at the Jack. In the studio with us now we have Matt Robus, Diane Anderson, and Chef Steph here to talk about the Juno Artist Gallery. Juno Appreciation Days, Thursday through Sunday. Thank you very much for coming down.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome, Jeff.
So for people who do not know, what's the Juno Artist Gallery?
We are a cooperative of 22 local artists. We've been here in Juneau over 30 years with different names for our entity. There's always an artist on duty. We run the shop ourselves and do all the business, and sometimes we cooperate with each other.
For people on the radio, could you describe the art that's... I know you brought some work with you, Diane.
Did. I brought some things that will be on our 15% sale. There's some beautiful knitted scarves by Barb Mitchell. I've got a pot here by Michelle Morell, and she's got a sale sticker of like $10 for this wonderful pot. My scarves will be there. I have one on. And some of my etchings that I'm exiting from the drawers. I've gone through all my drawers, and I have a lot of things matted and put in the sale rack, so they'll be even farther marked down.
Now, Robus, you want to talk about your work, please?
Yeah, I have carved birds in the gallery. They're based on the old decoy construction from the bad old days, and I branched out, so I'm doing birds other than birds that either are or used to be huntable into things like chickadees and hummingbirds. So if you want to set up a decoy situation for a little bird, you can do that now as well.
What do you mean by decoy construction?
Not ultra-realistic, more of trying to give the sense of the bird. They look like the bird, hopefully, that they're meant to be, but they're not carved down to, you know, precise photographic detail. They're meant to be more of a working type of sculpture.
How many birds did you get to have in the show?
Oh, I probably have 9 or 10 at the display. It kind of rotates as, you know, I try to keep up with birds as they head south, but, it's a little bit sparse at the end of the tourist season.
Are there special tools that you use, or are they just any wood carving tools?
A collection of gouges and rasps, and it's all hand work, a lot of sandpapering, but... you know, regular carving hand tools.
He's going to be demonstrating, too, at First Friday, so that will be special.
So tell me about Juno. Chef Steph, 70 more.
Yes. Oh, I just wanted to add the scarf that Diane has on is it's a painted silk scarf. They're absolutely beautiful. And, I wish that radio had, wish it could be televised so everybody could see it. But instead, you'll have to come down to the gallery and see them.
Tell me about your work, please.
I do food gifts. I have shortbread and toffee and gingerbread, granola. Goodness, I forgot what I do. licorice and sesame brittle. So everything is out and for sale and 15% off to say thank you to Juno. You know, we've got our town back. The tourists have left, and it's ours again. Ha, ha, ha.
She has lots of samples to eat.
Lots of samples, yes.
What kind of summer has it been for you?
Busy, fast.
Bit more busy than usual?
I don't know. The gallery...
It's about the same as last year.
Yes, I think my life has gotten busier and faster.
She has to cook all the time.
Oh,
the perils of...
No, but everybody should come down. You know, the gallery, it's a beautiful place. It's got beautiful art. Not everybody. There have been a bunch of movement, so people's spaces have moved. So, it's a great place to go in often. If you're like, oh, I haven't been in there in a while, come on down, because it's all handmade things, one of a kind. So there's always something new to look at, and it's beautiful work. The talent that we have in it is 22 artists. They're incredible, and I'm always very inspired and awed by them. And First Friday, we tend to, just like any potluck in Juneau, bring out our best. Mm-hmm. And we show off a little bit.
Good food.
Yes, with our food gifts. I mean, with our treats.
Heck, is there a jam-packed full of artists now, or do you have room for another artist to come on board?
That's a very good question. We have room for about four more artists. We have some good walls space that'll be available.
Looking for any particular type of art, or just... whatever people have.
We always love something unusual.
Yeah, one of the strengths of the gallery is the variety of things in there, and people walk in the door from outside town, and we tell them everything in this room is done by somebody here in Juneau, and they're quite amazed, because there are literally, 20 or more different, either different types of art or different styles of art, and it's a place you can rely on to go and find something a little different and really nicely done for birthdays or holidays or whatever.
All local made.
Is that a strong selling point for the people who come to this shop?
Oh, absolutely, Jeff. That's the first thing. They want reassurance that everything in our shop has been made in Juneau. They don't always believe us.
No, and I often, people seek us out, and we're always very appreciative. And then we share what other local shops there are. It's very nice. This year especially, I'm seeing people who are truly seeking out locally made products.
The other shops are really good to us, too. They'll refer the visitors to us, the bus drivers and the tour guides. So it's really nice. We have a wonderful community that brings people in for us.
And that's why we're saying thank you with our 15% off. And it's not just 15%, because a lot of the artists have marked down some of their items additionally. So the hand-knit scarves that Diane was talking about in the beginning, those are 30% off. So it ends up being 45% off, and there are There's lots of bargains. So, all the tourists at the end were like, oh, are you getting rid of stuff? And no, we're not. We don't buy in bulk, and we're not trying to get out of town and leave. But what we're doing now is just saying thanks, you guys, for sticking around and supporting us.
And, Jeff, I just wanted to clarify that the three-day sale at 15% off everything in the store is starting tomorrow. It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. At this time of year, we're not open on Sunday. You mentioned Sunday at the beginning. So it's a three-day, Thursday through Saturday, extravaganza.
And you're there in the Senate building?
We're in the Senate building, which is 175 South Franklin, and we're on the ground floor in the lobby. Towards the rear of the lobby on the right-hand side, right by the stairway, is the doorway to our shop.
And what are your hours normally?
At this time of year, now that the last boat's gone over the horizon, it's 11 to 6, and that would be Tuesday through Saturday, closed on Sunday, Monday.
Do you have a website?
Yeah, JuneauArtistGallery.com.
And a Facebook page as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, please like us. One of the members takes care of the page, and we have monthly meetings, and he gets very excited when we get more likes. So please like us, and you'll make Cam's day. Ours too.
All right, Matt Robus, Chef Steph, and Dan Anderson, thank you for coming down the station. Is there anything you'd like to add? I might have forgotten to ask.
The hours for gallery walk for us are 4:30 to 7, and hopefully the weather will be cooperative, and even if it's not, come on down.
Yeah.
It will be very warm inside.
Thank you for having us.
Jeff, thank you for having us.
And thanks for coming down. Coming up next, a little bit of music from the Anna Lynch Band. They're performing at this weekend at the Falltober Festival at Rockwell. Anna Lynch Band, they're performing this weekend at part of the Falltober Fest at Rockwell. It's a concert brought on by the Alaska Folk Festival and KTOO.
I heard an angel singing when the day was springing. Mercy, pity, peace is the world's relief. Thus is sung all day over the new moon hay till the sun went down. Haycocks looked brown. I heard a day.
down pour the heavy rain over the new reaped grain, and misery's increase is mercy, pity, peace. I heard an angel singing.
It's Martha Redbone. She's appearing in concert tonight at the Juno Arts and Culture Center at 7:30. Brought to you by the Juno Arts and Humanities Council.
Join Bartlett Regional Hospital Foundation for Black and White, the 2015 Seafood Gala. This event features a three-course dinner, live music by Thunder Mountain Big Band, and a charity auction to support Bartlett Beginnings Baby Box Project. Black and White takes place 6 p.m. October 3rd at Elizabeth Perachevich Hall. Formal attire is not required. More information and tickets at brhfoundation.org/seafoodgala2015 or call 463-5704.
The Juno Unitarian Universalist Fellowship is a welcoming congregation embracing many different beliefs and invites the community to join them on Sundays at 10 a.m. at the Temple Sukkot Shalom on Cordova Street in Douglas. More information is at juuf.org. This message brought to you by the Juno Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. Support comes from the Augustus Brown Swimming Pool, offering HydroFit every Tuesday and Thursday from 6:30 p.m. until 7:30, Aqua Aerobics Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. until noon, and Stretch Aquatics Tuesdays and Thursdays from 11 a.m. until 11:45. Fall swim schedules are now available online at juno.org/park/pool. More information at 586-5325.
The forecast for tonight, rain showers, low temperatures 39 to 45 degrees. Forecast for Thursday, more rain showers with high temperatures around 50 degrees. Thursday night, decreasing clouds and colder weather with scattered rain showers. Friday, sunny weather. Can you believe it? High temperatures around 50 degrees. Forecast for Saturday, more sun. Partly cloudy skies on Saturday night and mostly cloudy skies predicted Sunday through Monday. Tomorrow at 3 o'clock on the June afternoon, Joan Pardis will be your host. She'll talk with Katie Bosser about activities at University of Alaska Southeast. She'll talk with artist Linda Karen about her first Friday show at the Jack. Frank Atas will be here to highlight this weekend's 24-hour miracle. And we'll hear about the art happenings in Juneau during Arts Up. That, Burnout and Writers Almanac and more tomorrow on the Juneau afternoon.